There was a man driving down the freeway just the other day. And as he was driving down the freeway, his wife calls him on his mobile phone. And she's very distressed. And she said, "Look, darling, there's a madman driving down the freeway, driving down the F3, and he's going the wrong way." And the husband said, "Yeah, I know, but there's not just one of them. There are hundreds." Now, it's very easy to look around and think everyone else has a problem when in fact you are the problem. And this morning I want to convince you, each of you, that you have a problem. And that's not necessarily easy. For some of you, that couldn't be easier. But for others, that may well be quite a difficult task. In the words of H.G. Nelson, the great H.G. Nelson, what we're going to do this morning is you need to walk into the House of Mirrors and take a long, hard look at yourself. That's what we're going to be doing. This morning is our first in the series called Celebrate Recovery. Now, way back in 1935, a couple of Christian men formulated what are known as the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. So these Christian men had reflected on the Bible and had reflected on alcoholism and their own struggle and their own journey of recovery. And what they did is they formulated what they saw as the 12 steps that could sort of help people move out of recovery, move out of sort of destructive habits and addictions and so on, and move to a place where they are restored and renewed and empowered by God. The 12-step program, I suppose, was deliberately vague about Jesus and God. Over the last, few decades, this sort of Alcoholics Anonymous and other 12-step programs have just proliferated throughout the world. So there are tens of thousands of, 12-step programs or recovery groups going on throughout the world. There are tens of millions of people involved in, a 12-step program, Alcoholics Anonymous, or some sort of recovery program. Now, here at the Lakes, we run a Celebrate Recovery program every Tuesday night, and about 40 people, about 20 women, 20 men, attend there. Now, what has inevitably happened over the years is that those Christian roots of the 12-step program have sort of become more and more watered down, and so the Christian dimension of the 12-step program has become almost non-existent for many who are running through that program. And what we're doing at the Lakes is we want to develop a recovery program that makes this Christian dimension much more explicit. And so we're borrowing lots of ideas from churches in the States. All this stuff is huge in the United States. So we're borrowing some of the ideas, but we want to be authentically Australian in the way we go about it. We don't want to just be American in the way we do this. We want to develop a recovery program that is right for Killarney Vale Kev or Shelley Beach Shazza. We want to make it authentically Central Coast and Australian. But more importantly than that, we want to provide some strong biblical foundations for this recovery program so that it flows out of God's word and not just out of popular psychology. And so that's what we're doing in a sense over the next 8 weeks. If you grab your outlines, you'll notice that I've listed out there the 8 steps of recovery. And in a sense, they're like a Christian adaptation of the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. You'll see that each of the steps is based on one of the letters of recovery. So this morning we come to letter R. And R stands for realise. And so step one, up there on the screen, realise I'm not God. I admit that I am powerless to control my tendency to do the wrong thing and that my life is unmanageable. Now, this is the reality step. It's about coming to grips with reality. And it might be helpful to add, realise I'm not God. I admit that without God, I am powerless to control my tendency to do the wrong thing, and that without God, my life is unmanageable. That's really the essence of what this first step is about. It's about that on my own, I just can't handle it. And this morning, I want to convince each of you that this applies to you. And as I said, for some of us, we're all too aware that we've got a problem like this. We're all too aware that life is just out of control. Some of you just don't need any convincing about that. Bart Simpson was once at a rock concert, and it was the Smashing Pumpkins, which is a band, and he commented this. He said, making teenagers... I can't do a Bart Simpson impression, I'm sorry. Making teenagers depressed is like shooting fish in a barrel. Let me say it again. Making teenagers depressed is like shooting fish in a barrel. And he's absolutely right. And the point he's making is, for a lot of teenagers... You know, they have this low self-esteem, feelings of despair, feelings of inadequacy. There's guilt about sexuality and puberty and peer pressure. And all of that, in that mix, making a teenager feel guilty or feel depressed is pretty easy. It's like shooting fish in a barrel. It's not a very hard target. And that's true for a lot of adults as well. And so as we come to this step one, the recognition that your life is out of control, for some of us that's all too obvious. And what I want to say is, I hope this morning that you don't feel too beaten around, because in a sense you're not my target in what I say this morning. If you've come to that realisation, terrific, and in the next, steps 2 to 8, we actually see that there's great hope and restoration that comes from God. But the problem is, there are many of us for whom we take a bit of convincing to get even to this step one. Even people who suffer from alcoholism, even people who are